How will summer restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, and I guess it's the morning. This is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm taking over from Michael Blihash, stuck in traffic. So I'm going to go right to Mark Andel, who's on the road to the show out in the Midwest. Hey, Mark, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing, Henry?
How you doing, buddy? I couldn't get Michael on. He's stuck in traffic there. So I was trying to get Lo just to host a little bit, but his line dropped. So maybe tell everybody about where you're going and what's going on.
Yeah, Henry, we're in our van. There's four of us all rolling through Ohio right now, heading to Indiana, Indianapolis, the convention center, for the biggest Made in America event ever held under one roof. So we're all excited. Today's the drive day. We load in tomorrow, and we've got a lot of interviews and our displays ready to be set up.
Cool. Are you going to be able to tape anything for me so I can put it on air next week?
Oh, yeah. We've got Linda here. She's going to be taking pictures and live streaming with Tony back at the base, and we're going to be getting you all the pictures and all the videos we can for you, okay? We got a few interviews. We were asked to be on Fox and a couple interviews Thursday and Friday and then Saturday. Big and Rich is open up tomorrow night with Ted Nugent. I know you can relate to that, Henry.
Yeah, you know, Logis just told me that, if I'm not mistaken, the other day that Ted Nugent offered to write his foreword for his book or something. Logis has got some kind of connection to Ted Nugent.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, yeah. So he's definitely the special guest. But we're excited. Yeah, tomorrow night's the kickoff party. And that starts at about 7. And then Friday the trade show starts. It runs 8 to 5. And Saturday 8 to 5, but they've got a lot of speakers, a lot of good people, but it is open to the public, too. Kind of different for a national event.
Yeah, that's awesome. So are you going to be a speaker at the event at all, Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to be a keynote speaker Friday at about 11 o'clock, but they've got a lot of people lined up. Darrell Waltrip, three-time NASCAR winner, and Mark Lindell, and a lot of different stuff. They got about 20 different speakers. They've got 400-plus vendors. So Don Buckner, I've been talking to right along. He's very excited. He took out a lot, but Don had the vision and wanted to have the first Made in America trade show event in the United States of America. So hats off to Don Buckner. I think we need more Don Buckners, Henry.
Yeah, I remember speaking with Don, with Michael, some years back. When he's down in Florida, right? He has his business down in Florida or something?
Yep, he's down by Tampa.
Yeah, I remember speaking with him. Michael had a conversation with him years ago, and he was kind of really tied up with his business, but I'm glad he's able to see his vision come to life with this whole thing now.
Yeah, like he said, now he's got the time, he's got the capital, and he bought MadeInAmerica.com 20 years ago, but this is his dream, to bring as many people that believe in Made in America in our country as you can, and keep it neutral, not an R thing or a D thing. And, hold this event. And I heard that he booked it for next year, too. So wow. Hats off to Don. You know, it's a first-year event, and we're all going to support him.
Yeah, I think Mike Sessions is going to be out there. I thought he mentioned that to me when I saw him in San Diego, and I saw him a couple months ago. So maybe he'll run into you out there. At one point, we were all talking about going out to this, and now you're on your own out there without us. But you have to be our eyes and ears out there, Mark.
Yeah, well, no, we'll be talking about the American Workers Radio Show and Michael Blihash, Lark, and Rich, Curtis. I'll bring up all you boys, and next time we'll get you out there live on the event floor, you know, like we wanted to. But I think Don did a wonderful job for being only 7 months from the idea.
Hey, Mark, it's Larkin. How are you?
Good, Larkin. How are you?
Well, I wish you a safe trip, and I hope you get into Indianapolis with all your faculties, all your people aboard, and everything that you have to display. Hey, listen, Mark, is there evidence to you that the national media is going to give this some play?
Yeah, there's supposed to be Fox Nation on site. There's a 10,000-square-foot media area, Larkin, so I think we're going to get a lot of national attention, and that's what I'm hoping for. We know we got to get more exposure, and we got to take this to the national level. We're almost 10 years strong, and, Michael's been doing, since the 90s. So, I just like you said, I think there's going to be a lot of attention. We're booked for about 3-4 interviews already, Larkin, so I think it's going to be a great show, and that's what we're all there for, But they have 400-plus vendors at this point. I think it's awesome because they're all believers. You know, they're already made in America from manufacturers to retailers. And, you know, a lot of people joined up just to be part of it.
Well, when you see Don Buckner, tell him I'm very proud of his efforts. I wish you all the very, very best of luck. And I hope that this show is 10 times as successful as you expected.
Well, hopefully, yeah, we're going there with an open mind. We're not sure what to expect, but I hope your recovery is going well too, Lark, and I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, no, I'm doing much, much better. Better every day. Hey,
excellent. We need you back, and, you know, thanks for your support and your prayers. And, no, we're going to do well. We'll represent everybody well.
I'm sure of that. What kind of display have you taken out? What are you showing in your booth? Yeah.
So we did both, Lark, and you've toured General Welding, so we got the General Welding booth that's 10 by 10 with a nice backdrop and pushing our military trailer manufacturing. And we got our art pictures of the sculptures we built, and then we got a Made in America booth also right next to it, though, 10 by 10, so we got them side by side. And the Made in America, we're going to push the wholesale side and madeinamerica.com, of course, and just show people, you know, tell them we've done the homework for them. We got them triple certified and 9,000 products available. So both displays being side by side, I think, is excellent. We've got manufacturing with retail, but it's all part of our story. And I'm going to try to talk a lot about the skilled trade shortage, and we got to give these kids a purpose, like we talk about. And one size fits all is not working.
Yeah, we all can have wishes, and we all can know that there are things that need to be corrected. But you have to tell that story of where the correction is going to come from and how we're going to fix this problem.
Yeah, they gave me a spot Friday at 11, and I hope I get a few other, you know, opportunities. But we'll tell the full story and also heavy on the skilled trades and worker shortage.
Hey, guys, I'm gonna work on getting Curtis on, but Logis is with us, by the way.
Hey, guys, good morning. Good morning here. So, yeah, this is Henry had asked me, so can you do a quick guest host? And, of course, the line went out. I feel like this is that scene in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest when Jack Nicholson's character McMurphy takes over the boat. Right. Remember that scene in the film, you know, great novel, great movie. So welcome to all of our listeners online. Welcome to all of our listeners in the Delaware County, greater Philadelphia area. Curtis, Mark, welcome. Thank you to all. And Larkin, I'm so happy to hear you're recovering. And Mark, my compliment is always to you for refusing to just regurgitate the problem. You're out working to create a remedy and a solution. And I think this might be a good segue in what I was going to bring up today. And Curtis, if I could, let me just get right into it, Curtis, because I want to propose an idea to you, and I want you to tell me if I'm on the right track or if I'm not on the right track. What I was saying to someone this morning is the reason I think tariffs right now are a good idea is because as we experience an economic renaissance, as we have more families with more disposable income, taxes are lower. Even the Washington Post has debunked the narrative that we're in Obama's economy today. The tariffs are a good idea because with all these economic gains, why should those gains go mostly to China? Why should they? I mean, a family who goes to purchase a washing machine or a dishwasher that at one time was $700 in China, now it's $1,000. But the Made in America washer right next to it is also $1,000. Which one, Mark, are people going to buy for the same amount of money, made in China, right, or made in America? So I understand that we're not fully off of our dependency of China. That will remain, unfortunately, for quite a while. But what's the problem in trying to lessen that dependency? Keeping the money here, supporting our manufacturers, getting higher quality products, et cetera, et cetera. Curtis, am I on the right track on this thinking?
You're absolutely on the right track. The other day I bought an air conditioner. I was given a choice. I could buy an air conditioner for $500 that was made in China, or an air conditioner of $1,000 and it was made in America. Same brand, Friedrich air conditioner, highly rated. I said, I'm buying the Made in America one. I'll pay $500 more to keep my country whole and to not send money to a horrible, brutal, dictatorial regime. If we put these tariffs on China and make their goods cost the same as American goods, people will be buying the American product. And that's exactly right.
Curtis, I want to tell you something.
Michael, hello. I hope I did okay in my guest stint.
Let me tell you something. It was great. I have to compliment Henry. He did a wonderful job. Let me tell you, just tell you how insane our commerce departments are. They are fixing the road in one section. Then they are out with road cleaners in the same section, making four lanes go into one. Henry experienced it on the way in. I experienced it. I said, if there's anything to ruin commerce, it's this. You either fix the roads or you clean the roads at one time. You can't be everything to all people at one time because they're scheduled. They just want to do it. They don't care about, you know, who's late for work or who is late getting in. They just don't care. I enjoyed everybody's conversation. Boy, I'll tell you, this is really a very easy program to listen to. Thank you to Larkin. It's great to hear from you. Mark gave a great report. This is what it's all about. We have to start, keep on our line, positive, positive, positive. And Curtis, what you just said, do we go out and spend on an air conditioner that's made in America or made in China? This is the thing, or any other country, we can only say China. But the thing is, our people have to say, and they are saying it more and more, this is what we're doing for our country, for our future, for our children, for our neighbors. Curtis, you did the right thing. Today we're hearing about so many things being promoted in America. And by the way, Mark had a very nice report too. He's on the road.
And Mike, I'm still on the radio.
You're on the road.
How you doing, Mike?
And you know you're going to be celebrating on Friday. It's National Manufacturing Day. And that's another big reason for everybody to get there and celebrate. You know, this kind of show, I compliment Don for a great, great effort. This is what we need. We should be doing this all over the USA. Maybe he'll decide to come to other states and do it. On this radio station, we talk more about jobs and the important things to keep America's economy going than I hear on all the national stations. You know, we have to think about, just as I was riding on that expressway, I said to myself, what would we do in this country, God forbid, if there was a national, major national emergency of some type in the United States? How many of the 535 elected people in Washington could we depend on? Could American workers depend on? Could America's youth depend on? America's aging people depend on to protect the interests of the American people? I'd like to know that. Curtis, what do you think of that question?
I think it's disturbing because as you think about that, I can almost count them on my fingers. How many you could really count on? How many of our elected representatives can we count? Well, we could count on President Trump. You go down into Congress, and it starts to get very, very thin. And you know, when you said that if we had a real national emergency, it reminded me, I was at a forum last week, the China Forum, and it was a group of very, very high-level people. It was off the record, so I can't tell you exactly who was there, but these are people who know a lot about a lot. They told me that one of the things, this is off the record, I can't say where I heard this, right, so just forget about it. But no, seriously, there is a lot of speculation now with what's going on in Hong Kong that China might try to take over Taiwan, right? So if there were a real confrontation with China and Taiwan in the Straits of Formosa or the South China Sea, this is a fact. China has 200 shipyards where they build ships. I remember reading about World War II, where we were turning out Liberty ships. America was cranking out ships for the war in the Atlantic and the war in the Pacific, and we were building ships just at a rate that was unbelievable. We do not have 200 shipyards in our country, nothing close.
And this is just another example of how we have slipped, how much by letting go of our manufacturing. And it occurred to me the other night that President Trump's trade policy and his economic policy is about building up skills and opportunities for our nation's people. It's very simple. We don't build it in China, build it here. That means the people of America will have the skill set to do this manufacturing, to do this creative innovation, to do the research and development. Let's invest in America's people and train them and give them the opportunity to do things. It's our nation's people. And then that's predicated on the idea that we have a nation. And this is unbelievably considered a radical idea. This next generation, and I don't know, for 20, 30 years, the premise has been we don't think on a national level anymore.
That's right. You're exactly right, Curtis. I want to turn to Mark for 1 second. Mark, you're a youngster yet. Do you remember in Buffalo area 35 years ago, was that place humming with industries?
Absolutely, Mike. In the 80s, my father worked Bethlehem, Local 6, ironwork at the Ann Ford Motor Company at the same time. The area was happening in the early 80s. We were booming.
And we were making what was considered then made-in-America products.
Absolutely. My father's 83, uncensored, right? But Bethlehem in the day when you brought any foreign product back, they would flip over a semi. You'd never allowed a foreign product in Bethlehem Steel or any, in the 70s. It just didn't happen, Mike. So, things were happening. Manufacturing was at its peak, and it was about in the 80s when I graduated it started to, go down.
Now, Curtis, I'm going to ask you a question. How did this happen in 35 years? We had 535 elected people in Congress. They're ready, willing, and able to tax the hell out of us, but no way to lead us into a good economy, to keep people employed, to be able to lead us in a crisis. Losing jobs is a crisis. In other words, they did not do their job.
That's right. They lost their way. This whole, all the concern about income inequality and about we need more tax revenue to pay for Social Security or to pay for whatever your favorite social program is. It all leads back to the loss of jobs. If you have people working, people are paying taxes. As well as earning money, they're paying taxes, and that eliminates the deficits. If you have people working, you don't have income inequality. This goes back to, I've spoken about this, I've written about this, and I believe it's up on the American Jobs Alliance site and elsewhere. There is a hearing, the Joint Economic Committee of the U.S. Congress in 1967 held a hearing on U.S. foreign trade policy. And there you had David Rockefeller and the former Undersecretary of State George Ball testifying that the goal of the U.S. government's foreign trade policy should be to help multinational companies invest anywhere in the world without having any impediments of national borders, and that would be tariffs. He said, in including eliminating tariffs, we have to eliminate sovereign government's ability to erect other barriers to the efficiency of multinational corporations to operate anywhere in the world, to take resources from country A, ship them to country B for labor to be finished into something assembled in country C and then sold in country D. And this is the beginning, and these are the elites of the elites talking to members of Congress. Who was on that committee? You saw Donald Rumsfeld, who later became Secretary of Defense and served in the Reagan and Bush administrations.
You saw the biggest names who have been in government permanently. And this is where the thinking of let's think global, let's not think about our nation anymore, let's think about what's good for the multinational corporation, and everything else will just take care of itself magically. And so that policy, that's how these 535 people in our government have lost their way and have stopped thinking about the American people and the American nation. They thought we're beyond all that already. We, you know, this is the final stage of history where peace will break out, and as long as everybody can trade together and make money together, it's all just going to magically be okay, which, of course, was the premise for opening up to China and sending all our business to China. Once they develop and become more prosperous and have a middle-class society, they're going to magically become like Scandinavia with Chinese characteristics. It's just going to be all kumbaya.
You know, Curtis, as you're talking, I'm just thinking that kumbaya stuff. Take a look. What happened to the industries in Philadelphia? What happened to the industries in Buffalo? What happened to the industries in Wilmington? All the shipping ports, the sea making the ships and all. What happened to it? You mean to tell me people in Washington, D.C., they didn't consider the needs and the concerns of American workers? Did they think, as they still probably think, that money comes from the sky and that bushel baskets should be held up into the sky and that the bushel baskets will be filled over there and then they'll get a few people to take the bushel baskets of money over to the Treasury Department and everybody is going to just live wide and handsome? It doesn't work like
Michael,
this.
Michael, can I, if I may, because I would like to review a record that we have on our show of proposing solutions that actually predate Trump candidacy. And many will recall some of what we said on this show. You know, I'd mentioned once America First nationalism is without question the preferred system of government and economic free market model preferred to globalism. I've mentioned before, let's bring some of the money back, right? What was the figure, Curtis, I've seen? I believe it's $2 trillion that we've seen overseas. We started expatriating that money back, Michael.
Yes, I believe you said it was $4 trillion plus that you would like to see come back.
Half of that
money already came back,
we see
a difference.
There's an expatriation fee, you know, a reasonable amount. Sure, no problem. I'm okay with that, Curtis. We said this before even we were graced with your presence consistently on this show, you know. And our esteemed audio engineer once made a comment about how we've got to get the kick me sign off of our back. And I mention our esteemed audio engineer because he's a swing voter in a swing state, and we need his vote for 2020, and we're going to earn it, Curtis. We're going to earn his vote because he's a swing voter in a swing state. There are approximately 41 shows remaining until Election Day, and I'm going to bring that up for the next 41 shows, Michael.
You can just bring it up for the next.
We need Henry on board. We're going to earn his vote. We're not going to take him for granted as a swing voter in a swing state. Henry, we need you to continue. We still got work to do. We want you on the team.
Rich, you have my address. Just send a check.
You know, I mentioned to Larkin some time ago that maybe he should run for president. And we could send a check to Larkin. Just
Larkin's
$500 and above. And then he could donate it when his campaign no longer wants to be running. He could donate it to all of us here at American Workers Radio so that we can expand our efforts. You know, Larkin, I mean, you've been a positive part of the whole atmosphere through your many business arrangements, many businesses that you operated in, through your work at SCORE. If you had to give a grade to the 535 people that led this country in the last 35 years, what would your grade be?
It wouldn't be very good. And I'll tell you this. If I ran for president and got elected, historians would call Donald Trump tame compared to what would come out of my mouth. At 70 years old, I've seen so much ridiculousness. It's just like this current, and I love to watch it. I've been watching it all day, every day. Unfortunately, this current investigation out there looking for a crime. You know,
that's a good point. Looking for a crime, but you see, Curtis will agree probably with this, and all of you will agree. How much time is wasted on looking for a crime, and how much time is being provided to give good example to do something positive in America? At all these stations, the minute you turn on the news in some networks, it's crime immediately hits you. It's sorrow, it's rape, riot, robbery, everything that you're not tuning into here, you get a first. I'd like to see that reversed. You know, we're talking today, and I wanted to go back for a second because I know that Mark is on his way to a very important event. This week, on the first Friday of the month, as it is every first Friday of October, we celebrate National Manufacturers Day. On this broadcast, this Friday, we're going to begin National Small Business Weekend for the month of October. We do it every first weekend of the month. National Manufacturing Day is a really positive event. It's doing things that people wouldn't think about doing. Americans are continuing to develop products, and they're really unlocking new technology right now under President Trump. Because they got their taxes reduced and their regulations reduced, that could have been done 20 or 30 years. National Manufacturers Day is also promoting entrepreneurship and getting competitive back in the USA. In fact, I'd like to compliment the organizers of National Manufacturing Day because there are up to 1,600 American manufacturers now opening their doors to the public, encouraging young people to come in and pursue careers in manufacturing and engineering. I mean, do you hear that on the news? That's spooky. Today, by the way, science, technology, engineering, and all of our math students are really needed to power the next chapter of America's production and all of our innovation and harness the potential of what's really imperative for America's economy. Do you ever hear that discussed in the news media? National Manufacturing Day is doing that. The major manufacturing show is doing that. American Workers Radio is doing that. Our celebration of November as American Made Month is doing that. People like the good people there at Go for USA, Mark Andel, Andrzejewski there at OpenTheBooks.com, my friends at the U.S. Debt Clock, all of these people are doing positive things. There's only one problem, and that is the national press chooses to ignore us.
But Michael, don't underestimate what you say. See, what you're saying is very important to mention, because never underestimate, you know, the what Larkin once said, right? All politics are local, politics are personal. Never underestimate the individual power that people have to influence the outcome. See, that's something that I actually think is a thought that has seen a renaissance, and there are some I know who, you know, who said leading into 2016, they thought it was a foregone conclusion how the outcome would be, and it was an outcome they weren't expecting. And they said to me, my faith in democracy, my faith in elections was a little restored that night. And it shows you, Michael, everybody has, I know there's a lot out of our control, but everybody's got, everyone has some ability to influence the outcome. When you talk about seeking out a crime, and again, I've mentioned this before, forgive the repetition, but the head of the police state under Stalin in the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, Lavrenty Beria, is the one who coined the famous saying, "Show me a man, and I'll show you his crime."
That's right.
From a legal perspective, there is nothing more antithetical to our Constitution than show me a man and I'll show you his crime. And as much as there were plenty of idiots who were around when Obama was president, not as many as there are now, but there were idiots also, Michael. This was not a narrative that you heard commonplace throughout the national conversation about seeking to impeach just for the sake of. And that's exactly the Lavrenti Beria-ism. That's the influence of all of this. I have an article I'm publishing tomorrow, which will be at my site. It's entitled Impeachment, Napoleon, Lenin, and the Godfather. That's what it is. Lenin? John Lenin? No, Vladimir Lenin. Who's that? Was McCartney with him? And that's exactly the problem, Michael.
History is
simply repeating itself, but now it's happening before our very eyes. But the press you mentioned and, you know, the organizations, there's an interest that they have in reporting narratives. There isn't really an interest in reporting news. There's an interest in reporting narratives. I heard something, Curtis, the other day coming, it was out of CNN, and they were talking about Paul Manafort. And I thought, like, Paul Manafort is a forgotten figure, right, from 2016. But why would Paul Manafort be brought up, Michael? Because it isn't about the news. It's about the narrative. But don't underestimate, Michael, the fact that the people right now, see, that so-called monster vote that came out in 2016, they're all still there, Michael. They're all still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a person who believes in hubris. I think hubris is the cardinal sin. A great team is confident, but it always plays scared. It always plays urgent. Nothing wrong with confidence. I actually think right now, Michael, if I had to pick a singular reason out of the myriad reasons why I really believe all of this is happening from an electoral perspective, I think it's because the Democratic Party, for the first time in a very, very long time, is up against a political movement, right, and a figure whom they believe actually can pick off free agents from demographics that have traditionally voted Democrat. Your minorities, your blacks, your Jews, your Hispanics. I think they actually deep down say, wow, I actually think this guy's going to be able to pick up disaffected voters in those groups. And the difference between the president, whatever your opinion of his style, the difference between the president and the Democrats is that when the president goes to talk to minority voters, Michael, he talks to them like a human being. Not a dollar sign, not a vote, somebody who understands they have hopes, dreams, fears, concerns, like everybody else. They all understand. That's the difference, Michael. And I actually think the opposition party sits around saying, wow, this guy actually might, this movement, this brand of politics may actually pick up some disaffected, disillusioned voters from those groups. I've already said before, Michael, since the end of 2016, 5 million new jobs were created in the United States. 4.5 million were minorities of the five. That is unprecedented, unprecedented in the history, Curtis, of the jobs report. As I mentioned in my guest host stint, which lasted 60 seconds, even the Washington Post has debunked the narrative that it's Obama's economy. So when's everybody going to say, you know, maybe we shouldn't fish for crimes? We can disagree, but is anyone on that stage, Michael, running for president, is anybody in Capitol Hill right now on the Dem side sitting around saying, you know, maybe we should work a little more for the people we're supposed to represent, the people we're supposed to lead? There's none of that. And everyone has to ask themselves a question. Why is that? We all get a chance to influence the outcome every day and how we buy, how we spend, and then we get a chance at the polls. Well, choose wisely. That's what I'd say, Michael.
I agree. And I will tell you this, from everywhere we go, everywhere I talk to people, and we'll be having a festival again this Saturday and a Pulaski Day parade on Sunday. Everybody's invited, by the way, to watch on WPVI TV 6 ABC, 12:30 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can watch it on your cell phone, on your TV, internet, the whole gig. Everybody I talk to, they're not the people that are going to go screaming and yelling. they're just going to go to vote. And I believe this, Rich, Larkin, Mark, Curtis, Henry, and everyone out there, I don't think American workers or Americans can afford to go backward. They can't afford to go to where and the way it was 5, 10, and 15 years ago. Now that we're on the move, the road is a little better, except I had this problem this morning. But the road is a little better for all of us. Do you want to go backward to the way it was? No. I think that the people are getting tired of it. I can see it in the ratings of the major stations. I've contacted CNN. I've contacted Fox. I've contacted them all and just asked them to promote some of the positive things happening in America with jobs and the economy. The answer I always receive is, thank you for your comments and suggestions. They will be referred to the appropriate department heads. And guess where it goes? You know what I'm saying? And this is what the problem is. The leadership in these places could give a damn less about all the nonsense. All they want to talk about is the whistleblower and this and that. As far as the whistleblower is, I want to hear who the whistleblower was. I want him to come and testify. Welcome him to come and testify under oath. Identify himself. Find out where we got that information from. Let's get it all on the table. I want to see all this beside us. We can't continue another witch hunt. This is the month of October, so this is usually witch hunt month. But we can't continue looking for more witch hunts and this and that. You see, this is how the national media wastes our time, our emotional well-being, and the wealth of America by focusing on all the negativity, nothing positive. Mark, did you hear anything about the show that you are going to announce in the major news media?
No, Michael, not at all. You know, we're hoping that we get it now with the media attention. You know, World News should show it tonight, right?
That's right.
They should be talking about this story. You know, the show should be the number one in the country right now. And Don picked the center of Indiana because it's within 200 miles. It's dead center of the United States, or one. Logistically, it's perfect. And then within a 200-mile radius around Indiana is all your manufacturers, 50% of the manufacturers within 200 miles. And it should be talked front page. This is the largest event ever held under one roof for Made in America. I've done the National Hardware Retail Show. I've done all the other ones where you're an outlaw in your own country. This is representing all our manufacturers, our buyers, retail. This is the fourth quarter, too. Manufacturing Day is Friday. It's perfect time. You planned it right. And it's just the start, Mike, but you're right. It should be front page of all the national media now.
And I got up early this morning, and Mark, I heard nothing that it's coming up. I heard not one person mention it, and yet it's a very positive venture. It's bringing manufacturers together. It's bringing ideas together. Yes, Larkin.
I just wish President Trump could find the time to go out there and speak and to encourage everybody about the movement and about this particular show.
That would be very
You're
nice.
Right, Larkin. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's politicians, you know, the media, the public, business to business, consumer, the manufacturer, everybody's invited. So Don kept it neutral. It's not an our thing, it's his thing. This should be a national agenda. It shouldn't be a political agenda. And it's got to be front page. So I think you're right, Larkin. The president, the vice president, they've all been invited.
You know, you're talking about, I always say this because people tell me this. I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm an independent. I'm seeing more and more independents than I ever imagined I would see in my lifetime. But I'll tell you this. People are not interested in the party label anymore. They're saying, I want to see who's the person who has leadership ability, the quality, to give me what I'm paying them for. Those 535 people, all of their staff people, all of their expenses to operate the Capitol, they're all from taxpayer dollars. I don't know that any bushel baskets fall on the lawns of Washington with $50s and $100 bills. It comes from our paychecks. It comes from our taxes. Why in the world don't these people understand this? Why are they wasting time on all these hearings? $50 million was paid out on the last witch hunt. Could you imagine how nice $50 million would be used to promote ideas, getting into these various schools, to think tanks? How can we get more products? What can we do to help more workers? No, the money was wasted on foolishness. Mr. Mueller and his crew wasted the money and never told the truth. The truth was what we discussed 2 weeks after it was announced on this broadcast. We said it sounded strange. And guess what? 2 years later, it sounded strange. It was strange, and there was nothing there. We're off on another witch hunt. And I'll tell you one thing. It's got to go. How do we make it go? You know, I was thinking also a couple days ago, maybe we should do a few broadcasts in the future on what we want these national candidates to do for American workers. Maybe we should ask the questions and see how much of the national media will pick up on the things we're talking about to make America a better place. Do you think they would do it, Curtis?
I absolutely do. I'd like to congratulate or thank, that's the word, I'd like to thank Rich for his continued evocation of Lavrenti Beria. Show me the man and I'll show you the crime. And I actually used that quote in my latest piece on American greatness, amgreatness.com. It's a catalog of the left's growing authoritarianism. They always keep threatening and worrying that warning that the Trump administration is an authoritarian nightmare and an authoritarian power grab. But if you look at the tactics of the left, the progressives, that's where you see the true authoritarianism. Very quickly, you go from beginning to end, they are embracing all of the classic tactics and techniques of authoritarianism. The latest is with this impeachment inquiry. The Constitution says the House shall initiate impeachment, has the sole power. And usually the House is ruled by votes, majority votes. But Nancy Pelosi didn't bother to have a vote on this inquiry. She just decided to do it. She said, I formally declare we shall have an impeachment inquiry. And what is the nature of this impeachment? Basically, the Democrats are involved in rewriting history. This is pure 1984, down the memory hole, revisionist history that they're basing this impeachment on. We were told, Attorney General Barr made it very clear, President Trump made it very clear, that they were going to conduct an investigation into the origins of the Russia hoax. And that involved talking to the foreign countries that were involved at the very beginning. We knew that information came out of Ukraine, came out of Russia, came out of the UK, came out of Italy, came out of Australia. We had Australian diplomats and Maltese terriers and all kinds of crazy people from all around the world collaborating to, and they're named. This is not a conspiracy theory. They're named in the Mueller report. They're named that they were in touch with the FBI at the very origins. So now, when the president is making introductions and talking to foreign leaders saying, please cooperate with our investigators, they're making this out to be some type of a new revelation and some shocking, horrible development of inviting foreign interference in our electoral process. This is pure revisionist history. This is pure rewriting of history. We know exactly what happened, exactly what the president was doing. We know exactly what Attorney General Barr was doing when he went to Italy and reviewed the deposition given by some Maltese professor. And I don't know how you become a professor in Maltese, but that's okay. You used to be a soda jerk to make malted milks. But seriously, they're making something out of nothing. And even worse, the constitutional right to face your accusers. This is another authoritarian tendency on the left. It's right there in the Sixth Amendment. Guarantees us the right to confront one's accusers. But now we have this anonymous CIA agent making allegations against the president, launching an impeachment probe, and we don't even know who it is. I mean, this is ridiculous. We saw it with Christine Blasey Ford. She makes these accusations against Kavanaugh, and then she played coy, like, "Oh, I'm afraid to get on airplanes. I can't come to Washington to be interviewed about this." Excuse me, you're going to make allegations about somebody, and you're not going to let your accuser or his defense attorney question you? I mean, how do you? What country are we living in? And so, then this is part of the due process that's being denied everybody, the presumption of innocence. And by the way, it's not just Blasey Ford, and it's not just President Trump. Under rules promulgated under the Obama administration, if you're a student in a university and you were accused of some kind of sexual assault or crime or date rape or something like that, you could be expelled from college and have your permanent record permanently blackened without ever confronting your accuser. The rules that were promulgated by the Education Department allowed this process, quote-unquote, scare quotes process, that was no process at all, where anonymous allegations where you had no right to cross-examine your accuser could result in you being destroyed for life. So this is a kind of creeping authoritarianism that's been going on. We see it with Chuck Schumer saying, "Let me tell you, you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday of getting back to you." At one time, the Democrats used to be outraged by this. Now it's a fact of life that you don't cross the secret police, otherwise they'll destroy you, and you won't even know it's coming. Congress used to impanel special committees to look into this type of behavior. Now they celebrate it because it's their enemies that are being gored. So, as per the entire show me the man, I'll show you the crime, well, the way it's happened in this country is we have so many rules and regulations. So many, every day there's, until President Trump came into office, every day there were new federal regulations being put on the books, new laws being passed. There are so many laws that you can indeed indict a ham sandwich, as it's been said. Or, as LeBron Severia said, "Show me the man, I'll find you the crime." So the fact that not every ham sandwich is indicted tells you that we have a very arbitrary application and enforcement of law. And laws that are arbitrarily enforced or that are arbitrary are not laws at all. And so this has been the erosion of rule of law. In Washington the last week, we had a couple of demonstrations on the street over climate change, right? Climate change. So we've got to save the planet. The planet's on fire. It's burning up. We've got to do something. So what do? We have a debate. Do you have scientists come out and explain, you know, this, here's the charts and graphs, and here's what's going to happen, and here are some possible ways to ameliorate the problem, maybe plant some trees, maybe hold your breath, don't breathe, carbon dioxide's bad. No. Instead, you have a bunch of weirdos march in the street and sit down and block traffic. Now, what is this? How is this going to save the climate? Well, what it's going to do, it's going to make life uncomfortable for enough people. They hope that life will be so uncomfortable that they will then demand that please make it stop, change the laws so that these climate people will get out of the way and I can get to work in the morning. That's called coercion. That's coercion. That is
using mob action to enact change, that's not the democratic system. And here's the two final points I want to make on this, is this all goes back to technocratic supremacism is what I call it, and not white supremacy. We have technocratic supremacy, where you've got smart people in the government can do a better job at running your life than you can. And if we just get enough smart people with enough laws and enough rules and enough enforcement, we're going to have a perfect society. And the Democrats feel that they are engaged in this noble cause, and since they're engaged in a noble cause, the ends justify the means. And they will use any means necessary to achieve their end, even if it means destroying the rule of law, destroying the Constitution, getting rid of the presumption of innocence, getting rid of the right to face accusers. It's all justified because what we're trying to do is so darn good, we're entitled to do whatever we want to get it.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but Michael, can I see what Curtis just said? If any of our great listeners out there are not kept up at night by what they see and hear around them, what Curtis just said is where you can start. If you need a reason to see, my theory, Michael, is if we're not kept up at night by some of what we see, we're not paying close enough attention. Because everything Curtis just said is the same basis. Doesn't matter where in the world, where in history. What he just said is the basis for every despotic dictatorship tyranny that has ever existed. It doesn't matter where. That's the basis of it, what he just said.
That's right. You think you're so noble. What you're doing is so noble and so good. You're entitled to do anything to achieve it. Empty the cities in Cambodia, march people into the countryside, and bludgeon them to death.
Yeah. So, and I wanted to interrupt here towards the tail end of the show. I know we like to stay on top of the news, but the Wall Street Journal just broke that Bernie Sanders has suspended his campaign indefinitely after having heart stents put in last night. After a campaign stop Tuesday night, he had stents put in, and his campaign has been suspended. So now all I want to do is follow the $25.3 million that he's raised in the last 90 days to see where that ends up. I can only imagine.
Those surgeons cost a lot of money.
Yeah, I guess so.
It can go to his Senate reelection campaign, or he can give it to Elizabeth Warren.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I want to just add one thing. I really feel that Speaker Pelosi, the vampiric one, was ill-advised to bring up this impeachment thing. Because, Curtis, you're right. How can you make an accusation about anyone without being, you know, the accuser's right there to justify it? It doesn't make sense. It shouldn't even be allowed to happen. I mentioned something like this to Curtis the other day when we were on the phone. I said, Curtis, anybody can accuse you of something, me of something, and we don't know who our accuser is. That doesn't make sense. This is America. We're supposed to know what's happening around us.
But to add insult to injury, all of this that he is reporting is hearsay.
That's right. I want to know who the man is. I want to see him. I want to bring him up under oath and let's hear where he got the information, why he decided to do it. I don't think anything should happen. It should go to a vote in the House, and they should either say we bring the whistleblower forward or we drop the entire, suspend the entire impeachment process. One way or the other. This is wasting taxpayer money. American workers are being hurt by seeing their dollars wasted away. And I'm tired of watching people go through all kinds of hearings and probes that mean nothing to us, the good people of America, in the end. All it does is waste our taxes and our emotional well-being.
if y'all had a chance to watch Sunday morning news programs, you had an opportunity to see Adam Schiff interviewed, in which the interviewer said to him, 2 years, two whole years, $15 million, and the attention of this entire country to come up with nothing.
Nothing.
And why is it that you feel compelled to start this whole process over? Is this another 2 years of emptiness and shit?
Well, in this case, I want to see who the whistleblower is. I want to see who he got his information from. I want to see the documentation. Otherwise, any person listening to this show right now could be accused of something and they know they're innocent of. Why should they have to go through that? You know, America is the greatest nation on earth. We have to keep it that way by demanding excellence. First of all, I want to say thank you to Henry Chaplinsky for opening the show today. He was absolutely good. This will have to be the first of many. I want to say thank you to Mark Andel, who's going to represent us well there at the show. And also make sure everybody knows about November as American Made Month. Curtis Ellis, as always, you are the best. And Mr. Larkin Conley, you sound like you're ready to get up and go to O'Neill's with us one day when you're in Philadelphia. And Rich Loges, thank you so much for all of your wildness. People love all of us talking common sense during this broadcast. A lot of good things are happening. It's happening because people like you and I are making it happen. Let's not go off the course. Let's continue to do what we're doing. This is National Small Business Weekend, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Please go out and support your local businesses. If I see you at the festival there in Bridesburg on Saturday, stop by and say hello, and make sure you watch the Pulaski Day Parade on WPVI TV 6 ABC, 12:30 on Sunday. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, my best wishes to all of you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you, and may God bless America.